Hello, this is Greg Strickland from Louisa Christian Church, and welcome to Real Faith Today. On behalf of our congregation, we hope that you are inspired by our music team and encouraged and challenged by today's message from our pastor, Vincent Klug.
Thank you, Emily Fleming, for that rendition of Long Black Train. The news, I can't take it anymore. I just can't look at the news anymore. I filter it. I look for a positive story. You know, the news focuses on the negative stories. But honestly, times are hard. I mean, who would think 4 months ago the world would be like this? Oh, how much we took for granted. Being in other people's homes, having cookouts, worshiping together, fellowshipping, Bible studies, encouraging each other. Oh my goodness, I've taken so much for granted, and I miss it. I think many of us are getting to the point where it feels like, okay, this is enough. This can end now, any day. But it might not. It might not. Which brings us to our text. We are beginning chapter 3 in our series in the book of Philippians. Verse 1. Paul writes, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." Well, contextually, it sounds to me that the whatever happens is referring to Paul's dilemma of not being sure if he's going to make it out of Nero's prison alive or not. He's not even sure if he's not sure if he wants to. He'd be happy to go and be with Jesus. At the same time, he thinks he'd rather stay and bear more fruit with his among his people and be used by God. Which, on a personal note, I have a past. I haven't always been a Christian. I've traveled on the long black train, and I did find out it leads nowhere. So you hop on that long black train thinking, this will take me to where I want to go. I want to feel better in the moment. I want to escape reality, or I want to escape something, and I want to make myself feel better. I want to have fun right now. You know, we do have an innate desire to be filled. We have an innate desire for pleasure. Wow, that might surprise you. Well, maybe it does. But also know that the scripture says that in my right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the pleasure we were made for is God Himself. And there's no greater joy than being used by God. And that's why Paul would rather stay. So he says, whatever happens, rejoice. Whether I live or die, whether I send Epaphroditus or Timothy, whether I see you again shortly or I never do on this side of reality, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. See, the advantage of all of this craziness in our world right now is that it clarifies things for us. It clarifies, yeah, that we took things for granted, but it also clarifies the staying effect of things. What is there for us in the end? It clarifies how easy we can lose things. Our jobs, our finances, or a lot of people, our identities, because our jobs make up so much a part of who we are. Our financial security, our social status. We can only get so much social affirmation through social media, through Facebook and Instagram and all those things. And of course, this probably goes without saying, but, you know, we can lose our health. But there is one thing. There is someone who, if we find ourselves in Him, our joy is untouchable.
Drink the cup, we give our tithes, our song of salvation all came through you. But you sacrificed for us to live, you gave your life so we could live. We give praise to God, our Father who sent us to you. Hallelujah.
Secret hopes, but you know all our cares and story to you. Our members I've seen from young to old, their children grown, their memories hold, and by your grace we bring their alleluia.
Alleluia.
There is one thing, there is someone who, if we find ourselves in him, our joy is untouchable. But then, in verse 1, Paul gives a warning. He says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Paul's repeating something to a congregation he loved because, well, the assumption is, I think for us, is that we need to have things repeated, especially things of God, especially things from the Bible, because they don't fit. They don't run parallel to how we think. They run in opposition like a fish swimming against current. Sometimes like a trying to hit a nail into a rock. We need the power of the Holy Spirit for that rock to be open, our hard hearts to be open, and for the Word of God to find its way into us. You know, and the way the Holy Spirit works is through our choices. We choose whether we will be thankful. We choose what we remember. We choose our perspectives and our attitudes by what we think about. So Paul says, I'm going to remind you again to keep your faith safe. So what does he do? He lay the next verse, verse 2 says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Paul says, look out, or actually beware, fits our vernacular better, beware of the dogs. And he's talking about mean dogs. He's talking about dogs that bite. Dogs were not popular back in the day when Paul wrote this letter. Beware of men who do evil. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. So harsh. It's like Paul's jumping up with a beware of dog sign up and down, trying to get our attention. Look, I don't mind reminding you of this again, because I want to keep your faith safe. So here's what I want to remind you. Look out! Look out! Look out! They're coming! Those who mutilate the flesh. What's going on here is that in Paul's day, there were those who would wait for him to leave, and they would be men who would come into Gentile churches and say, look, we're Jews like Jesus, this new person you found who has changed your life. Well, he's, you know, based in our religion, and you need to get circumcised. You need to do this work. It's on you. They made salvation about what you have to do. And they were boastful because Paul brings up that the gospel is by grace alone so that no one can boast all the time. So these guys would be boastful, we're circumcised, we are the true chosen ones of God. We know the Bible better than anyone. We have authority. That's who we are. Paul said, beware of them. They're coming. winter's coming, where the cold air of legalism hits the church. Oh, how the message of grace is so hard for us to take. It's so hard. I've been teaching the Bible since the 80s, and we could look at the Bible, we could look at the text, we could look at the Word of God over and over and over and study about God's grace. For grace you have been saved through faith, not works. It's a gift, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2. It's a gift, lest no one, there it is, so no one can boast. Don't think for a second this message isn't relevant to you. Because I think we need to be aware of not just the legalist trying to get in our churches, but the legalist inside of each of us. The legalist that beats us up. You know, we preachers talk all the time about how sinful we are, how selfish we are, and how we love to put ourselves first. And all that is true. We also need to be aware of how we beat ourselves up. It's one thing to say you're sinful. It's another thing to say you're not good enough. God defines who we are. To God, our value is immense. How far he went to save us. How far Jesus went to become a man. To submit as a servant, to submit to death, to take the sins of the world and be separate from the Father, to take our sin so that we could have his righteousness. That's far. That means you're very valuable. You're very loved. Look, if you look at verse 3 of chapter 3 of Philippians, it is clear that it's not by any work that we do that proves that we're one of God's own. It's by the power, it's by the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. It's by those who don't boast in themselves, but you boast in Christ. If you boast in yourself, there's going to be days where you're going to hate yourself. There's going to be days where you mess up. Don't. If we boast in ourselves, it's a setup for failure. That's where the long black train gets you. Nowhere. But if you boast in Jesus, now you're on the right track. Now you're going somewhere. Now you'll always ride with joy. Now in the following verses, Paul goes to great pains to talk about this legalism that lives inside us. And he does it by talking about himself. He basically says, look, I can call them dogs and evil because I was one of them. Okay? It's in me too. And maybe it's in you too. And maybe it's, and I know it's in me. I think it's in all of us. It's clear in Scripture that we all have an inner legalist who's not only judgmental of others, but man, judgmental of ourselves. You know, Jesus said, love others as you love yourself, because the truth is that's what we do. We treat others as we treat ourselves. If we treat ourselves terribly, we're going to treat others badly. When push comes to shove, when the stress is high, when someone blows it, Paul says in verses 4 through 7 of chapter 3, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul had it down. He was the legalist of legalists. He was the most self-righteous. He was the king of self-righteousness. Let's go back and make sure we're getting all this. Paul says, beware. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil doers. Beware of the snippers, those who are mutilators of the flesh. And it ultimately makes us self-righteous. That's why the message for us today is beware. Take this seriously. Look out. And you know the thing is, you can't be Christ-righteous and self-righteous at the same time. Well, let's get to the end of verse 7 where Paul says, look, all that self-righteousness that I had, I counted as loss because Jesus is all there is. Let me say something to you that's going to probably make you wonder about me. But, you know, I'm called to challenge you, and that's what I'm going to do. If you look at the context of chapter 3, 1 through 7, what Paul needs to repent of is not sin. It's of thinking he's good. It's of his good things. These aren't just things he was born with. These are things he did. He studied the Bible and memorized it. Well, that's a good work to do. He was zealous for God. He kept the commandments. He kept the commandments according to the requirements of his religious sect. Paul was an ace in the hole as far as self-righteousness goes. You know what we need to be aware of? We need to be aware of our own self-righteousness. Yeah, Jesus warned the disciples of that. In Matthew 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees come up to Jesus to test him. And they demanded that he show them a sign from heaven to prove his authority. Only an evil generation would demand of God. Can you imagine coming up to God and demanding a miracle? Later, verse 5, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring bread. And Jesus said, watch out. Sounds like Paul. Jesus warned them, beware. Again, sounds like Paul in today's text. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't do anything to provoke Jesus to give him this warning except talking about bread. They weren't even acting self-righteous at the time. They weren't acting self-righteous at the time at all. Why would he bring it up? Why would he say with such a warning, be careful, beware? Well, because Jesus knows the trouble we're in. He knows we need to put up beware of legalism sign in the forefront of our minds. Let's look at some of the ways Paul was self-righteous that he admits to here. Well, circumcision. He was circumcised on the eighth day, so his racial identity made him superior. He was from the tribe of Judah, Israel's first king. So he had a heritage. He had a name. He spoke Hebrew and Aramaic, so he had an intellectual advantage. He was privileged. He was an expert in the law, disciplined, and he worked hard at studying the Bible. And he lived out his passion for his beliefs. Look, Paul kept all the religious requirements of his day, of the highest sect. He would be the perfect Sunday morning church attendee that everyone looked up to. And Paul says, I count it as loss. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Can you say dung on the radio? The word in the Greek is dung. All the things that Paul once was proud of that made him somebody, that made him worthwhile in this world in his own mind, he now counts as a dirty diaper, let's say. We save a lot of things from our children's childhood. Some people save the first tooth they lost, their baby shoes, their first little blanket. Nobody saves their first diaper, right? Paul says, all of my self-righteousness are like dirty diapers. They count as nothing. That's the warning today. Look, if we count all of the things in our life as our identity, we're in trouble. We're going to lose it. That's what this virus and these troubling times we live in is causing us to see. We can't hold on to anything, any of the things that we are privileged with or that we produce. We can only be like Paul and say, that our goal is to be found in Christ, not having any righteousness of my own, he wrote, that comes from, you know, obeying or doing anything, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. You know what our contribution is? You know what work we do? Our work is faith. It's that simple. Send your inner legalist packing. Because quite frankly, he's a slave driver. He's exhausting. He's the reason you're so tired and irritable and depressed and anxious. There's no good in him. It's like a mean dog. Evil. He destroy you. We all want something in life, something more. We want our lives to matter. We want our lives to count. Paul said in verse 8 that everything else in his life has been worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. That knowing Christ has been so meaningful, so great, so glorious, so joyful, with an unstoppable joy. And now our life counts. How does it count? Well, at the end of the day, when you evaluate or reckon or take an inventory of yourself and ask, did I get enough done today? Did my life matter? Do I matter? What's it all for? When we get to the end of the day and ask ourselves these questions, we can look to the cross and say, my life counts because I am in Christ. Because what Christ did for me is all that I needed. The only one who ever completed his calling on life perfectly was Jesus Christ. You can never do it, and I can never do it. So give it up. You're already exhausted. You already had it up to here. Give it up, because you can know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Verse 10, you can suffer with him. Even your suffering is meaningful. Even your death is meaningful. Because when you're in Christ, you will experience the resurrection from the dead. Your life matters when you hold on to the pure gospel, not just the beginning of your salvation experience, but all the way to the end of your life. Hold on to it and live in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will confirm that you belong to God, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, will whisper to you what you need to think, what you need to do every day to abide in Christ. It's yours for the asking. Throw yourself into Christ. Throw yourself into Christ like a tiny creek runs into a mighty river. Ah, that we would be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of our own that counts for nothing, but having a righteousness that we've received as a free gift through the work of Christ on the cross, based on faith. There's a joy for you. It can't be taken away. It's yours.
On behalf of Louisa Christian Church, we hope that today's message inspired you and brought you closer to God. We thank our sponsors for today's broadcast, and we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Special thanks to our music team, Butch and Sharon Duke, Derek and Sarah Waller, Catherine Neese, Mike Clevenger, and Dana Klug for sharing the gifts of music with us. We thank our special guest singer today, Emily Fleming, for her cover of Long Black Train. If you would like to attend one of our worship services, we are scheduled to worship together again on Father's Day, June 21st. Please call us for more details at 540-848-6441 or visit us at our website at louisachristianchurch.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.